from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1-800-636-1067. Pedro with you up until 2:40 this afternoon. Heard the Junkies, by the way, this week talking about, you know, the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes and stuff like that. I hope they're not 15 wins bad again this year. I mean, if you've got Kuzma healthy and you've got some of these young pieces that look like they're going to be reasonably solid here, I think that group can win a few more games. The question ultimately is, do you think you have enough right now that you don't have to try necessarily to get in the lottery again and hope that you end up with him? Or is it time to turn the corner a little bit and start winning some basketball games? I mean, because that's ultimately what's going to sell the most seats. Give me bodies, give me butts in the seats right now, because that's what it's all about. If I'm Ted, I say to my guys, look, we got to win a little bit more. You know, when we win, people show up. And we'll see if they can do that coming up tonight. Let's get out to the phones, 1-800-636-1067. Mark, you're in the leadoff spot today. Welcome to 106.7 The Fan.
Hey, Pete. Been a long time, buddy.
Yes, sir. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too, Pete. Hey, man, I've got some concerns. I know you want to talk some baseball, buddy. Man, talk to me about what happened with the Orioles, Pete. I mean, shouldn't people be concerned about they should really remember what bad things can happen when some things like that happen, and I think they should be a little critical of things like that. Don't you, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, look, and that's why I think, A, you saw Brandon Hyde come out aggressively the way he did, because, A, his team needs a jolt. They're bad right now. They don't have bad talent. They're just performing badly right now. And they needed a little bit of a jolt. And look, there has been some very inordinate abnormal amount of, you know, hit batsmen in these games between these two teams. And as I said earlier, the Yankees are Darth Vader. Four guys on their team collectively, you know,
that's true, Pete.
They make more money, each one of them individually, than the entire, like, team of the Orioles. So the Orioles are this young upstart team. The Yankees represent the establishment. And I think Hyde finally said, look, I got to do something. And going in your – see, and I think it's different. I think these are two different things. Going in your locker room and throwing over tables and telling guys, hey, you know, you're better than this and all that other stuff, that does not realistically resonate with the athlete in 2024. But I think something publicly like this, on the field, toward the other team, this is the better way to go about it if I'm Hyde in this situation. And without making a huge deal, and look, let's face it, they've got the parts to go make any kind of a deal that they want to fortify their club.
Yep.
You know, right now, something has to change for this group, and ultimately, this was Brandon Hyde's way of maybe pushing a different button other than going in his own clubhouse and doing something that will make young guys kind of go, like, you know, chuckle and go, yeah, okay, Skip, we got you.
Hey, Pete, I don't think he's that kind of guy. I think the subconscious drove him out there to do that to protect his boys because they're all young guys, Pete.
Yeah.
You know this, buddy.
Yep. Yep. No, but I agree. I agree that's not necessarily in Hyde's nature. But
yep.
I also think it represents something to those players that, hey, if our skipper's coming out here and doing this, then we've got to look within. Maybe we have to have our own players-only discussion and say, what do we got to do? Let's look at the video. What are we doing at the plate that's not allowing us to have the same success we had the first 2 months of the season? It's calculated. There's no doubt about it. It's very calculated to do this because ultimately you're not firing Hyde. And I don't care what Orioles fans, there's a section of those folks that want him out. They're not firing Brandon Hyde. That's not happening because the team is, almost 30 games over 500 at one point this year. That's not going to happen.
That's right, Pete. Hey, Pete, real quick, I got to ask you this, buddy, because I told Max, you're like me, and you remember the heydays of the Anacostia Flats, buddy. Hey, I got to ask you, Pete, the last time I talked to you and Chris, man, we talked about this. Man, I'm worried about the offensive line, Pete, with our new jewel, buddy. What do you think, Pete? I mean, I want your honest assessment. I mean, I know things are going to change, Pete, but I am a little concerned. And you and I, it always comes down to that when we talk football, buddy.
Yeah, realistic. I mean, look, here's the reality. The reality is, right now, as they are constructed, at this moment, Coleman has to hit at left tackle for them. He has to hit at left tackle for them. Can he do it? Sure. He's got the frame. He's got the build. But if you look on the surface at a guy, and I said this when he was drafted, I said, you go look at Sam Cosmi, he's eventually going to be outstanding at guard. And where has he found the best success? At guard on the inside. So just because you have a big frame and you have good footwork doesn't guarantee success out there against NFL pass rushers. But Coleman is clearly going to get the first run, it looks like, at left tackle. And for them to be successful, he's going to have to hit for them on that draft pick at that position as this roster is currently situated. That doesn't mean they can't go out and get somebody who maybe gets released on one of the cuts or something like that might be able to come in and be better than what you have. But ultimately, for them as they're constructed, Coleman's got to hit at left tackle or there will be concerns because you go up against some really good pass rushers just in your own division alone. Mark, appreciate it. Mark always a very perceptive caller, especially when it pertains to the offensive line. And look, let's face it, Coleman has to be the guy that hits at the left tackle spot for them right now, unless somehow they go out and get somebody else. Because, he's the guy on the roster that when you look at him, when you go out to camp, and I think they're going to have five, I saw open practices. When you look at Coleman, and this is a guy that's been coached well on the college level, you can trust the coaching, I think, in some ways that he got. This is a guy that looks the part. He does look like he can be the guy at that position. Ultimately, the adjustment that you have to make is the quality of the current pass rusher just in the division alone is extraordinary. For the whole division, it's as good and deep as any division in the National Football League right now when you look at the potential pass rushers that you have to go up against. Obviously, Parsons leading the way with Dallas. The Giants have a pair. The Eagles have been solid as a rock, no matter how many guys have moved through there the last couple of seasons. They've been able to put pressure on the passer. And to me, that is ultimately the biggest change for any offensive lineman is going forward is what happens, against professional pass rushers, guys that are strong, guys that can beat you with speed, that can beat you with technique, different alignments. You're going to be looking at different things. All of a sudden, you got two guys standing in front of you. You got to pick the right one, and you got to make sure the guy that's standing next to you picks the right one as well. And if you don't, your quarterback is running for his life. Now, is it good the fact that, Daniels is a mobile guy and can bail your guys out a little bit, early in the season at that spot when a guy may get away from him? Sure, absolutely. But, Thibodeau, we saw the kind of problems Thibodeau gave this group last year. And you look at Parsons, what I loved about, and this will be unique, with Quinn coming here and Joe Witt coming here, does Dallas utilize Parsons the same way? I thought what Dan and those guys did on that Dallas staff with Parsons was superb. We're not going to line him just off the right side, or we're not just going to line him off the left side. You don't know where Parsons is going to come from. And ultimately, I would love to see. The problem is, who's that piece here that they could do that with? Now, in theory, maybe Davis is the most athletic guy, a guy that you could do that with and experiment with. I think how they utilize him early in the season and even in the preseason is going to be something interesting to watch. Keep an eye on how they use 52 out there on the football field. You know, he's got a mentor now in the linebacker room that's going to quickly correct errors when they occur in Bobby Wagner. That bringing him in here is a stroke of genius, because if there's a way to save this player and still make him realize his full potential at the linebacker spot, having a guy like that in the locker room and on the practice field that's going to correct errors, not even that the coaches have to correct. They're going to correct. Bobby Wagner's going to correct this stuff for them. I will be fascinated to see how they use Jamin Davis this coming season. And will we see him utilize that athleticism and come after the passer a little bit more? So I think that's going to be something interesting to watch. And, you know, quite frankly, when we were talking about this earlier, when we were talking about the division and the hopes of each team within the division right now, and we clearly talked about how a couple of the rosters really are excellent rosters. Like, you would look at that roster with Dallas, you would look at that roster with Philadelphia, and you go, man, I could do some damage with that roster. Ultimately, though, when you look at the coaching in the division right now, remember, Dan's been to the promised land. Dan was 2.5 quarters to being there and winning a Super Bowl. And you don't know how his life would have changed. A former Division III football player from, at that time, known as Salisbury States, now known as Salisbury, Go Gulls, where I was doing the play-by-play at the time. And, you know, how would his life have changed if the Patriots don't complete that big comeback? But when you look at coaching within the division, look at Dan's units. Look at how Dan coached his individual units. When you look around the division right now, as we head to break, let me ask you this question. Who's the best coach in the division right now? Very few would say McCarthy, even though Dallas has won a decent amount of games. Right now, it appears as if Sirianni and Philadelphia are spinning the wheels just a little bit. They couldn't have finished the season any worse than they did last year. There were moments last year, and I'm a Brian Daboll guy, but there were moments last year where that group, as it was together, and obviously Brian's responsible for it, he's the head of the coaching conglomerate, they had some moments that they would like to have back. Ultimately, where does Dan Quinn stand, you know, within the coaching hierarchy of the division? You know, McCarthy's been there. He's been to the top. He knows what it looks like. But of late, there's been a lot of criticism of the way that they've coached down in Dallas. Or is it more the quarterback there? Is it McCarthy? What is it? You know, what's the situation down there? So where does Dan Quinn stand in terms of this coaching within the division right now? And maybe, just maybe, is he sneaky high, even though he's coming here for the first time? And does that give you a little more confidence in the way this team may attack the 2024 football season? 1-800-636-1067. Pete on Sports with you till 3:40 right here on 106.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
McCarthy's been there. Quinn's been there. The other two guys, Sirianni, right there at the precipice, and then all of a sudden they just collapsed dramatically last year. Dable, still a work in progress. Where does Quinn stand in this division hierarchy from a head coaching standpoint? And does it give you a lot more confidence just on the Quinn factor alone over the previous regime? And again, hardworking men and women. Let's not speak ill of those who came before. Roster issues, they were certainly, you know, they were in charge of the roster. They picked the groceries. Okay? They picked the groceries. They coached the groceries. They prepared the food. So they had the ultimate. They were completely in charge of everything they were doing, and it just didn't work. It just did not work out. It wasn't from a lack of effort. Those men and women put in a ton of work trying to get this team to a good place. They just didn't get them there. Are you just on the Quinn factor alone with the quality that he's brought in from a support staff standpoint? Does that give you just that much more oomph for this 2024 season? If you're a Washington fan, brand new quarterback, a lot of hype around him, and a new coaching staff as well. 1-800-636-1067. You know her. You love her. She loves to talk about the Commanders. It's Sabah. What's up, Sabah?
Hey there, Pete. I can't believe you're on the radio, at least on the stations that I'm listening to. So, man, when are you going to get back and be in the regular rotation? I need you and Doc back in the regular rotation with Russell and the gang and Kevin. So is that going to happen anytime soon?
That is above my pay grade, Sabah. It's above my pay grade. I'm just happy to be here today. And it's by chance. I gambled that the forecast was going to hold up and cancel my daughter's tournament, and of course it didn't. So I've been left watching her on Game Changer so far today. So I'm a bad dad for taking that gamble here today as well. But you know, I love talking.
Pain.
I love talking to everybody. I love talking sports. It's all I've wanted to do since I was five. So you know, I'm just glad to have the opportunity.
You do a great job at it.
Thank you.
And I feel your pain. The only game I missed with my daughter playing basketball was I think it was 2 years ago, where she was playing Bridgewater, and that's way up there on 81, kind of about a five-hour drive from us, and it was snow and ice, and the game was at 7 at night. And so, obviously, we would have had to be driving back probably 9 and getting home about 2 in the morning, and we just didn't want to risk that, had to work next day. So that was the only time I missed one of the games, and it is weird. You know, you're watching it online. It's just not the same. You feel guilty. But I thought, well, it's better than having dead parents. You know, so
amen to that.
In your case, you know, you have to earn a living, so
yep.
I think she'll understand. You know,
yep,
and she
no
seems
doubt.
Like she's an awesome softball player too. So
she's
congrats on that, buddy.
Yep, she's getting there.
Hey, I wanted to chime in on first of all, I can answer the coach question if you want. I think Daboll right now is the best coach in the division. He had the least to work with. Daniel Jones was hurt. Saquon Barker was hurt. They had no wide receivers. And I think that Waller guy ended up being a bust because I think didn't he already retire or something like that? I don't
yeah,
think his heart
yeah.
was in it.
Well, I mean, right, but you mentioned the key word. I think Darren, and obviously, look, I mean, Kelsey Plum's probably my favorite women's basketball player. Clearly,
uh-huh.
there was some distractions going on in his life as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll be fascinated how they look going into this season. There are some new parts. There is still the Dable Daniel Jones. I've got to believe that this is the, you know, it's either got to be this year or no year for those two.
Mm-hmm.
And Dable will certainly probably have a longer life than Jones here. But that remains to be seen how it all comes together.
Yeah, I just think that if you had to pick, I think he'd just be the best. And then I want to chime in on sports in general. Like, I'm really thinking that the NBA and college women's basketball is really catching up to the men's sport. Let me just tell you why. I mean, obviously not money, but just in entertainment. Because the women are staying in college like the men used to, and they're coming out, and they are really better ball players. Girls are getting so much better so much earlier in life now than they used to, you know, just 10, 20 years ago. And so they're making the game much more interesting, much more fun. I know who's playing. They're stars when they show up in the NBA, particularly like Caitlin Clark and those guys. I'm Kelsey Plum, Sabrina Ionescu, AJ Wilson, you know, all those, Leah Boston, all those people, you're interested in seeing what they do. Whereas the men's college basketball has really dropped. I only watch as the Carolina playing, and even when they're playing, I hardly know who's on the team. And then college football, I'm afraid, with this realignment and this NIL, that a quarterback that gentleman was talking about, the Heisman hopeful or whatever, is he not on his third team in the third season? In his third season, third team?
Yeah, sure.
Why is that good for the game? I just think they are just, what did that guy say on Dallas? Pigs eat and then the hogs get slaughtered. I think they're pushing the envelope a little too much, and I'm afraid that college football is going to get caught up just like college basketball did, and it's going to come down. Because I used to love college football, you know, next to the NFL.
Two things here, Sabah. Let's break it down like this. First of all, on the women's side, the thing that has helped the women is there are now more networks putting more money and resources into promoting those women and their excellent skills, and we now know who they are. Joe even touched on it when he was talking about, we were talking about the Heisman thing. You know, who and we talked about this, and I've talked about this on my shows last year. Who was the most identifiable player on the men's side in college basketball last year? You really had to work hard because you had no one that was a rival of Caitlin Clark or, you know, Angel Reese, Juju, Camila Cardoso. You didn't have anybody on the men's side that rivaled that, that, you know, identifiability in those players. And it's a credit to ESPN for putting more resources into telling those stories and promoting the women's game on an equal basis now. And you're right. We don't necessarily know now, you know, a lot of the men's players. Armando Bacot is the exception rather than the rule as a place like Carolina, as you talked about.
Right, but no one cared about him because he's not an NBA talent.
Correct.
You know, or R.J. Davis, not NBA talent.
Right.
The best guy on our team that's in the NBA probably is going to be Harrison Ingram that came over from Stanford. He was with us 1 year. Or like Brady Manick. He really did good things in 1 year. I'm like, I'm not used to that. And don't you think that's going to hurt the game in the long run?
Well, I mean, hurt the game is in the opinion of, in other words, are people going to buy less tickets to Carolina, Duke, Maryland games because – people are kind of cycling in 1 year and out the next. I mean, is that good?
I think I am.
I'm not sure if we have enough of a sample size to see how it's going to greatly affect, you know, I think it affects programs like Maryland because I see a lot of empty seats at their games. And that's why Maryland made a significant commitment in this offseason, you know, bringing in quality guys from the Nationals organization, Rob Carlin, who's an alum over there and really invested in the marketing and NIL department because they got to get people excited about Maryland basketball again. And that just hasn't been the case. And the fact that Maryland and Georgetown are going to play each other. That's 100% true. That's 100% true. A lot of their fan base has not bought into that. But because at the end of the year, the check that the Big Ten cuts Maryland is significantly bigger than the one that the ACC can cut them right now.
Right. I don't know. I mean, it's just sad, Pete, to see it all. But I'm so happy for the women's sports. I think that now we care what's going on. Like, Angel Reese makes me angry when she does those fake double-doubles when up seven with 7 seconds to go instead of dribbling out. She tries to get – she scores. And then the next game, her coach takes her out when Cardoso is hitting 80% of her shots. So within two, she takes her out in the third quarter after making all, like, four out of six of her shots or something, put Angel Reese, who was, like, 5 of 17, and then losing by, like, 20 so she can get the number.
I have said for years – I wish I could be in charge of one of the WNBA franchises because I think there is some inferior coaching for superior talent in that league.
Including the Fever coach. Now. Oh, my God, she's so bad. She takes Caitlin Clark out of the game the minute they get a lead, and their team is lost without her. In on possessions where she doesn't touch the ball, they turn the ball over. She doesn't let Caitlin be Caitlin. Caitlin is not shooting with confidence.
But that's where, hey, Caitlin's got to get better individually on the defensive end so they don't exploit her in one-on-one matchups, though, late in games. And that's why she's doing it.
You're falling into that. She actually is one of the leaders in steals. And did you see the game yesterday?
Just because you get steals doesn't make you a great defender.
Okay, watch the game. Yesterday, she was awesome defensively.
She's gotten better. Early in the season, she was an absolute colander out there defensively.
Well, I think she has a Steph Curry syndrome. When you're so good at one thing, they have to criticize something, so they go to the defense. And it's not.
She's been awesome, though. Hey, the last five games, she's been as good as anybody in five-game period in WNBA history with the numbers she's put up over the last five games.
It's so fun.
But you know what, though? I think she's also caught her second wind, though. I think she was absolutely exhausted at the end of the college season. She was absolutely exhausted at the end of the college season. I think she's caught a little bit of a second wind, and that's why her results have perked up. So we'll see if she can continue, and hopefully maybe they're going to have to pull a big upset in the playoffs because of where they're going to be seated.
One question for you, Pete, and I'll go.
Yep.
Is her coach going to be the coach after the break? There's rumors she's getting fired.
Yeah, I mean, I the question ultimately is who do you bring in, though, and how many women, how many good women's coaches are willing to come coach in the pro game compared to some of the money they can still make and have the security in the college game right now?
Bring the man from Virginia Tech who went to Kentucky that was with, Hannah, what's that girl's name?
What, Kenny Brooks?
Amore.
Yeah, George Amore, yeah.
Bring him. He would be perfect for the Caitlin Clark team.
Yeah, anyway. I would not.
Love you.
Not disagree with that. Appreciate that. You have a great weekend.
You too.
1-800-636-1067. Anything's on the table, but the specific question, and I certainly, you know, Sabah says Brian Daboll's the best coach in the division. Who's the best coach in the division heading into this 2024 season? And does Dan Quinn's arrival here give you more confidence that things will be better for this Washington franchise heading into this season? 1-800-636-1067. You and me till 3:40 right here on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. 1-800-636-1067. Sabah thinks Brian Daboll's the best coach in the division. Who is the best coach in the division? Is anybody the best coach in the division? They've all had moments. You know, I mean, McCarthy taking a lot of the blame for what's happened in Dallas. Obviously, we know the circumstances in which he's coaching under there. Unless we're there, we don't know how much Jerry's, you know, affecting the day-to-day. We know Jerry and Steven are picking the groceries, though. That we know. That's not debatable. They're running the franchise. We do know that. So, you know, this is a guy that, you know, won a Super Bowl back in 2011. He's been to the top. You know, he's won 178 games, won 61 games as a professional football coach. And, you know, but yet people talk about as if, obviously I know, you know, he had a great quarterback there in Green Bay. That helps you. But you can also mess it up. You can also mess it up. Dan Marino had Don Shula. They went to the Super Bowl one time, okay? They went to the Super Bowl one time. So just because you have a great mind doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, even with one of the greatest quarterbacks physically of all time, you're going to get to the promised land. You know, Nick Sirianni's a guy that in that first year got everybody all excited about what was happening in Philadelphia. You know, I mean, been with obviously some good folks, you know, started out, you know, with you know, some really good people during the course of his career. I mean, he's been around guys that have been a long time, guys like Mike McCoy. I believe they had Philip Rivers together, obviously, out there in San Diego. You know, Frank Reich was obviously a mentor. And then Sirianni worked under him in Indianapolis. So he's been with some solid people. Ironically, what was notable is that when, you know, Andy Reid took over out there in Kansas City, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't necessarily maintained there. And, you know, Sirianni, you know, comes out and loses five of his first seven games. And they end up turning it around, getting a wild card berth. And, you know, from there, you know, they go 14-3 in 2022. And everybody's, oh, this is fantastic. This is going to be spectacular. And, you know, eventually losing in a great game to Kansas City in the Super Bowl. And then last year, they could not get out of their way in the second half of the season. They just could not get out of their way. They lose Hassan Reddick here in the offseason. He's now with the Jets, and he was a very productive pass rusher for them. Guy that had incredible win rate. Both not only did Reddick have a great sack rate, but Reddick had a great win rate period, run or pass, last year as an edge rusher. So was 2022 more of, you know, everything coming together perfectly for the Eagles? Or, you know, it was last year, was that second half of the season, more of the same? I mean, this is a group that was 10-1 at one point. And that means they were 24-4 over a 28-game period under Nick Sirianni. Now, granted, part of the puzzle last year was the fact that Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon, two terrific coordinators, and this is where a head coach can make his life. Your ability to identify whether bringing in from the outside or promoting from within good coordinators, this is something that a head coach, the good head coaches, are able to do. You're able to help cultivate these guys, you know, so you can promote from within or identify from the outside, hey, this guy's doing good stuff. I want to make that part of our franchise right here. And to me, you know, This the start of this season for Philadelphia is very, very interesting. It's very important for them, and I think it's very important for Sirianni. I mean, Brian Johnson becomes the scapegoat of sorts last year. He's now here in Washington and is going to help be the quarterback whisperer for Daniels. And guess what? Everywhere Johnson has been kind of the quarterback guy, when he's been the quarterback guy, he's had success. So that's another underrated part of what Quinn has done with this staff, that you bring in a guy that can get with a young quarterback, can constantly be in his ear, be that support system for him as he grows as a professional player. So, you know, with Sirianni's team finishing as weird as they did at the end of last season, I think start this year for the Eagles is going to be fascinating to watch coming up here. And then, you know, the unprovenness of Daboll as a head coach, at least. Look, competent, very competent college coordinator. Very competent offensive guy in the National Football League. When you're in charge of the groceries, though, man, when you're in charge of, you know, leading, and this is my favorite word, because I work at the Naval Academy where they teach leadership and they teach people how to be leaders. If anything, working there for 26 years now has made me a better leader, my community. Leadership is important. Some people can lead because they get a title, and then some people can lead, period, regardless of title. And that, to me, is the remaining thing to see about Daboll. Can he lead? You know, last year we saw, you know, arguments on the sideline with his people outwardly and stuff like that. You know, the good coaches kind of tend to keep that behind, but it wasn't impossible to see Nick Saban going off on people because they didn't meet the standard. And perhaps Daboll, who coached there with Saban, you know, learned some things there. And when people need to be corrected, sometimes you got to go a little harder than others. So, is that a one-off for Daboll that looked kind of awkward on the pro level? Or is it something that eventually gets better dividends out of things in New York? I think it's too early to say he's the best coach in the division. And thus you go with Dan Quinn, who, again, Dan Quinn fell victim to one of the greatest comebacks of all time. And, you know, blame what you want on Kyle Shanahan, if you will. You know, Dan will tell you, and people will tell you, ultimately, leadership at the highest level, you know, maybe you go to that coach and say, hey, maybe we should do this. You know, maybe we should do this. Maybe Dan, you know, little known fact, I'm pretty sure he did track and field. He was like a thrower in college too. You know, maybe he could throw either the shot put or the hammer or whatever it was, you know, at a coach when they're messing up. You know, hey, Kyle, don't do that. You know, all we got to do is hold on to the ball and run the timeout and we'll be fine. But I'm fascinated by Quinn and what he can potentially do here in Washington. There's been a lot to like about some of his, you know, there's a lot to like about a lot of what he did in Atlanta. You know, I mean, there's a lot to like about that. Ultimately, though, can he get this roster to where that one was, where you had very competent quarterback, you had competent weapons, and you were leading the Patriots 28-3 in the biggest game of the year. So we know Dan Quinn can get you there. Dan's not some neophyte they brought in as a first-time head coach, you know, who was buried on an average coaching staff. This is a guy that's actually, you know, been a head coach and been right there. He's tasted it. He's been right there. You don't think there's going to be a more motivated guy than Dan Quinn right now to prove all the naysayers who consistently want to bring up what happened in Atlanta and how close they were and how it slipped away, or the ones that want to say, oh, he was only a winner because Kyle Shanahan was his offensive coordinator? Because there's that faction that's out there too. There, you've got a very motivated guy here, and you would appear to have competency in the front office now that can go get him a roster that within 2 years can be competing consistently at the top of the NFC East and then hopefully at the top of the NFC. It's too early to say he's the best coach in the division. But I will say this. Out of all the situations in the division, I do like Dan Quinn's right now long-term more than the other three. So we'll see if Adam Peters and his staff can get Quinn and his coaches the ingredients they need to make a great four-course meal and top it off with a tremendous dessert, which means you're playing in that last game in February and you can add another Lombardi trophy out there in Ashburn, Landover, College Park, wherever they are headquartering themselves right now. 1-800-636-1067. Pino Sports with Edel 340 right here on 106.7 The Fan. You know, in addition to, look, I mean, Daniels and Quinn coming in, that's pretty obvious. You know, was having this discussion the other day with someone and looking at the league as a whole, not just, you know, you got Daniels and Quinn coming in here. You know, what's the other acquisitions? Is there another acquisition? You know, as a guy like Eckler, I mean, a lot of chatter on the different shows about, you know, which guy, Eckler, Brian Robinson, which guy gets more carries? Does it matter? Does it really matter which guy gets more carries ultimately, you know, with those two? If they're both productive with what carries or catches they get, I mean, I can envision a lot of Larry Centers like production out of Austin Eckler, and that's going to be a way for Eckler, I think, to elongate his career a little bit in the National Football League. And again, I come back to the fact that not only did I talk about it with Quinn, but again, Austin Eckler going to be and I talked about this with Derrick Henry up in Baltimore. Austin Eckler is going to be a motivated football player because there are a lot of people that think Austin Eckler has hit that wall, that gate right there. The gate is here to stop Austin Eckler. And, you know, you're going to get a motivated football player. So whatever touches you get him, and I believe in the end, his ability in the passing game will be incredibly beneficial to Jaden Daniels. And if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you take advantage of that, you know, especially early in games. You know, just to get Daniels into the game, you got a guy like Eckler out in space. Brian Robinson showed you last year in space. Look, if you put the ball in his hands, they can do something with it. And, you know, I think having a motivated football player in Eckler, obviously he's got to stay healthy, and Brian Robinson's got to stay healthy. I mean, both of them, You know, if they can stay healthy, and I think having both of them helps them both stay healthy, quite frankly, you know, that's another motivated weapon on this football team. We've gotten so passionately into the Brandon Ayuk discussion here in the off season, and
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. 1-800-636-1067. So Bob thinks Brian Daboll is the best coach in the division. Who is the best coach in the division? Is anybody the best coach in the division? They've all had moments, you know? I mean, McCarthy taking a lot of the blame for what's happened in Dallas. Obviously, we know the circumstances in which he's coaching under there. Unless we're there, we don't know how much Jerry's, you know, affecting the day-to-day. We know Jerry and Steven are picking the groceries, though. That we know. That's not debatable. They're running the franchise. We do know that. So, you know, this is a guy that, you know, won a Super Bowl back in 2011. He's been to the top. You know, he's won 178 games, won 61 games as a professional football coach. And, you know, but yet people talk about as if, obviously, I know, you know, he had a great quarterback there in Green Bay. That helps you. But you can also mess it up. You can also mess it up. Dan Marino had Don Shula. They went to the Super Bowl one time. Okay? They went to the Super Bowl one time. So just because you have a great mind doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, even with one of the greatest quarterbacks physically of all time, you're going to get to the promised land. You know, Nick Sirianni's a guy that in that first year got everybody all excited about what was happening in Philadelphia. You know, I mean, been with obviously some good folks. You know, started out, you know, with you know, some really good people during the course of his career. I mean, he's been around guys that have been a long time, guys like Mike McCoy. I believe they had Philip Rivers together, obviously, out there in San Diego. You know, Frank Reich was obviously a mentor. And then Sirianni worked under him in Indianapolis. So he's been with some solid people. Ironically, what was notable is that when, you know, Andy Reid took over out there in Kansas City, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't necessarily maintained there. And, you know, Sirianni, you know, comes out and loses 5 of his first 7 games. And they end up turning it around, getting a wild card berth. And, you know, from there, you know, they go 14-3 in 2022. And everybody's, oh, this is fantastic. This is gonna be spectacular. And, you know, eventually losing in a great game to Kansas City in the Super Bowl. And then last year, they could not get out of their way in the second half of the season. They just could not get out of their way. They lose Hassan Reddick here in the offseason. He's now with the Jets, and he was a very productive pass rusher for them. Guy that had incredible win rate. Both not only did Reddick have a great sack rate, but Reddick had a great win rate, period, run or pass, last year as an edge rusher. So was 2022 more of, you know, everything coming together perfectly for the Eagles? Or, you know, it was last year, was that second half of the season more of the same. I mean, this is a group that was 10-1 at one point. And that means they were 24-4 over a 28-game period under Nick Sirianni. Now, granted, part of the puzzle last year was the fact that Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon, two terrific coordinators, and this is where a head coach can make his life. Your ability to identify, whether bringing in from the outside or promoting from within, good coordinators, this is something that a head coach, the good head coaches, are able to do. You're able to help cultivate these guys, you know, so you can promote from within or identify from the outside, hey, this guy's doing good stuff. I want to make that part of our franchise right here. And to me, you know, this the start of this season for Philadelphia is very, very interesting. It's very important for them, and I think it's very important for Sirianni. I mean, Brian Johnson becomes the scapegoat of sorts last year. He's now here in Washington and is going to help be the quarterback whisperer for Daniels. And guess what? Everywhere Johnson has been kind of the quarterback guy, when he's been the quarterback guy, he's had success. So that's another underrated part of what Quinn has done with this staff, that you bring in a guy that can get with a young quarterback, can constantly be in his ear, be that support system for him as he grows as a professional player. So, you know, with Sirianni's team finishing as weird as they did at the end of last season, I think the start of this year for the Eagles is going to be fascinating to watch coming up here. And then, you know, the unprovenness of Daboll as a head coach, at least. Look, competent, very competent college coordinator. Very competent offensive guy in the National Football League. When you're in charge of the groceries, though, man, when you're in charge of, you know, leading, and this is my favorite word, because I work at the Naval Academy where they teach leadership and they teach people how to be leaders. If anything, working there for 26 years now has made me a better leader, my community. Leadership is important. Some people can lead because they get a title, and then some people can lead, period, regardless of title. And that, to me, is the remaining thing to see about Daboll. Can he lead? You know, last year we saw, you know, arguments on the sideline with his people outwardly and stuff like that. You know, the good coaches kind of tend to keep that behind, but it wasn't impossible to see Nick Saban going off on people because they didn't meet the standard. And perhaps Daboll, who coached there with Saban, you know, learned some things there. And when people need to be corrected, sometimes you got to go a little harder than others. So is that a one-off for Daboll that looked kind of awkward on the pro level? Or is it something that eventually gets better dividends out of things in New York? I think it's too early to say he's the best coach in the division. And thus you go with Dan Quinn, who, again, Dan Quinn fell victim to one of the greatest comebacks of all time. And, you know, blame what you want on Kyle Shanahan, if you will. But, you know, Dan will tell you, and people will tell you, ultimately, leadership at the highest level, you know, maybe you go to that coach and say, hey, maybe we should do this. You know, maybe we should do this. Maybe Dan, you know, little known fact, I'm pretty sure he did track and field. He was like a thrower in college, too. You know, maybe he could throw either the shot put or the hammer or whatever it was, you know, at a coach when they're messing up. You know, hey, Kyle, don't do that. You know, all we got to do is hold on to the ball and run the timeout and we'll be fine. But I'm fascinated by Quinn and what he can potentially do here in Washington. There's been a lot to like about some of his, you know, there's a lot to like about a lot of what he did in Atlanta. You know, I mean, there's a lot to like about that. Ultimately, can he get this roster to where that one was, where you had very competent quarterback, you had competent weapons, and you were leading the Patriots 28-3 in the biggest game of the year? So we know Dan Quinn can get you there. Dan's not some neophyte they brought in as a first-time head coach, you know, who was buried on an average coaching staff. This is a guy that's actually, you know, been a head coach and been right there. He's tasted it. He's been right there. You don't think there's going to be a more motivated guy than Dan Quinn right now to prove all the naysayers who consistently want to bring up what happened in Atlanta and how close they were and how it slipped away, or the ones that want to say, oh, he was only a winner because Kyle Shanahan was his offensive coordinator? Because there's that faction that's out there too. There, you've got a very motivated guy here, and you would appear to have competency in the front office now that can go get him a roster that within 2 years can be competing consistently at the top of the NFC East and then hopefully at the top of the NFC. It's too early to say he's the best coach in the division, but I will say this. Out of all the situations in the division, I do like Dan Quinn's right now long-term more than the other three. So we'll see if Adam Peters and his staff can get Quinn and his coaches the ingredients they need to make a great four-course meal and top it off with a tremendous dessert, which means you're playing in that last game in February, and you can add another Lombardi trophy out there in Ashburn, Landover, College Park, wherever they are headquartering themselves right now. 1-800-636-1067. Pino Sports with Edel 340 right here on 106.7 The Fan. You know, in addition to, look, I mean, Daniels and Quinn coming in, that's pretty obvious. You know, was having this discussion the other day with someone and looking at the league as a whole, not just, you got Daniels and Quinn coming in here. You know, what's the other acquisitions? Is there another acquisition? You know, as a guy like Eckler, I mean, a lot of chatter on the different shows about, you know, which guy, Eckler, Brian Robinson, which guy gets more carries? Does it matter? Does it really matter which guy gets more carries ultimately, you know, with those two? If they're both productive with what carries or catches they get, I mean, I can envision a lot of Larry Centers-like production out of Austin Eckler, and that's going to be a way for Eckler, I think, to elongate his career a little bit in the National Football League. And again, I come back to the fact that not only did I talk about it with Quinn, but again, Austin Eckler going to be a, and I talked about this with Derrick Henry up in Baltimore. Austin Eckler is going to be a motivated football player because there are a lot of people that think Austin Eckler has hit that wall, that gate right there. The gate is here to stop Austin Eckler. And, you know, you're going to get a motivated football player. So whatever touches you get him, and I believe in the end, his ability in the passing game will be incredibly beneficial to Jaden Daniels. And if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you take advantage of that. You know, especially early in games, you know, just to get Daniels into the game. You got a guy like Eckler out in space. Brian Robinson showed you last year in space. Look, if you put the ball in his hands, they can do something with it. And, you know, I think having a motivated football player in Eckler, obviously he's got to stay healthy, and Brian Robinson's got to stay healthy. I mean, both of them, you know, if they can stay healthy, and I think having both of them helps them both stay healthy, quite frankly, you know, that's another motivated weapon on this football team. We've gotten so passionately into the Brandon Ayuk discussion here in the offseason, and boy, what a weapon he would be like to have here and everything. And we've kind of lost sight of the weapons that are here and how Cliff Kingsbury, you know, could, in the end, you know, disseminate these weapons out on the football field. Clearly, we have a quarterback who can throw. That, in theory, should make McLaurin better. I was watching some tape somebody posted the other day talking about how many balls McLaurin would have to either stop for, come back for, win 50-50 battles with after he had initially won the route against guys over the last, you know, couple of years and had to make more contested catches. Well, now you got a guy that can serve that ball out there that if McLaurin or Dotson, Luke McCaffrey. You know, if these guys can win some routes, you know, this is a guy that can get the ball out there if he's not laying on his back and can make explosive plays. And when you make explosive plays during the course of a football game, this is the difference between scoring. And you hear Doc talk about it all the time. There was a time a couple years ago this defense was so good that if you just got to 21 points, you were going to be in business. Well, unfortunately, the offense couldn't do that. Well, now you get a guy that can make explosive plays and not necessarily running with his feet, but extending plays with his feet, and good guys in space who can run to space and perhaps make explosive plays. Now that's the difference between scoring 18 to 17 to 20 points a game and getting in that 21 to 24 to 27 type range. That's going to give you a chance to win games, because look at this. Look, I'm telling you right now, to beat Philadelphia, to beat Dallas, you've got to score 24 or more points. You're not beating Dallas 10-3. CeeDee Lamb alone will get them explosive enough plays to get them to 14, up into the 17 area. Philadelphia's got the necessary weapons to get you into the 17 to 20 area. So you're going to have to score 24 or more to beat the Dallases and the Philadelphias just in your own division alone at this point. Giants are still a little bit of a roll of the dice, because that all depends on Mr. Jones at the quarterback position. But you do have the potential weaponry, and more importantly, you have two guys in the fourth quarter that if you have a lead, you can turn it and give it in the belly of Robinson, give it in the belly of Eckler, and even Chris Rodriguez as well, who showed you in flashes this year. Look, that guy was an absolute workhorse at Kentucky. He was abused at Kentucky. He had the football so much in his hands, almost like LaDainian Tomlinson. But, you know, you've got people that in the fourth quarter with a lead, either via running and or short passing, can help you secure the game. And we get caught up in adding more weapons and the trade talk with Ayuk and all this other stuff. Instead, I don't think we've really looked at the weapons that this group has here and how it will pertain to winning this coming season and how it has to do it against the top two teams within its division. 1-800-636-1067. You and me till 340. Nats and Brewers at that time right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. You know, in addition to, look, I mean, Daniels and Quinn coming in, that's pretty obvious. You know, was having this discussion the other day with someone and looking at the league as a whole, not just, you got Daniels and Quinn coming in here. You know, what's the other acquisitions? Is there another acquisition? You know, as a guy like Eckler, I mean, a lot of chatter on the different shows about, you know, which guy, Eckler, Brian Robinson, which guy gets more carries? Does it matter? Does it really matter which guy gets more carries, ultimately, you know, with those two? If they're both productive with what carries or catches they get, I mean, I can envision a lot of Larry Centers-like production out of Austin Eckler, and that's going to be a way for Eckler, I think, to elongate his career a little bit in the National Football League. And again, I come back to the fact that not only did I talk about it with Quinn, but again, Austin Eckler going to be and I talked about this with Derrick Henry up in Baltimore. Austin Eckler is going to be a motivated football player, because there are a lot of people that think Austin Eckler has hit that wall, that gate right there. The gate is here to stop Austin Eckler. And, you know, you're going to get a motivated football player. So whatever touches you get him, and I believe in the end, his ability in the passing game will be incredibly beneficial to Jaden Daniels. And if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you take advantage of that. You know, especially early in games, you know, just to get Daniels into the game. You got a guy like Eckler out in space. Brian Robinson showed you last year in space. Look, if you put the ball in his hands, they can do something with it. And, you know, I think having a motivated football player in Eckler, obviously he's got to stay healthy, and Brian Robinson's got to stay healthy. I mean, both of them, you know, if they can stay healthy, and I think having both of them helps them both stay healthy, quite frankly, you know, that's another motivated weapon on this football team. We've gotten so passionately into the Brandon Ayuk discussion here in the offseason, and boy, what a weapon he would be like to have here and everything. And we've kind of lost sight of the weapons that are here and how Cliff Kingsbury, you know, could, in the end, you know, disseminate these weapons out on the football field. Clearly, we have a quarterback who can throw that, in theory, should make McLaurin better. I was watching some tape somebody posted the other day talking about how many balls McLaurin would have to either stop for, come back for, win 50-50 battles with after he had initially won the route against guys over the last, you know, couple of years and had to make more contested catches. Well, now you got a guy that can serve that ball out there, that if McLaurin or Dotson, Luke McCaffrey, you know, if these guys can win some routes, you know, this is a guy that can get the ball out there if he's not laying on his back and can make explosive plays. And when you make explosive plays during the course of a football game, this is the difference between scoring. And you hear Doc talk about it all the time. There was a time a couple years ago this defense was so good that if you just got to 21 points, you were going to be in business. Well, unfortunately, the offense couldn't do that. Well, now you get a guy that can make explosive plays and not necessarily running with his feet, but extending plays with his feet, and good guys in space who can run to space and perhaps make explosive plays. Now that's the difference between scoring 18 to 17 to 20 points a game and getting in that 21 to 24 to 27 type range that's going to give you a chance to win games. Because look at this. Look, I'm telling you right now, to beat Philadelphia, to beat Dallas, you've got to score 24 or more points. You're not beating Dallas 10-3. CeeDee Lamb alone will get them explosive enough plays to get them to 14, up into the 17 area. Philadelphia's got the necessary weapons to get you into the 17 to 20 area. So you're going to have to score 24 or more to beat the Dallases and the Philadelphias just in your own division alone at this point. Giants are still a little bit of a roll of the dice, because that all depends on Mr. Jones at the quarterback position. But you do have the potential weaponry, and more importantly, you have two guys in the fourth quarter that if you have a lead, you can turn it and give it in the belly of Robinson, give it in the belly of Eckler, and even Chris Rodriguez as well, who showed you in flashes this year. Look, that guy was an absolute workhorse at Kentucky. He was abused at Kentucky. He had the football so much in his hands, almost like LaDainian Tomlinson. But, you know, you've got people that in the fourth quarter with a lead, either via running and or short passing, can help you secure the game. And we get caught up in adding more weapons and the trade talk with Ayuk and all this other stuff. Instead, I don't think we've really looked at the weapons that this group has here and how it will pertain to winning this coming season and how it has to do it against the top two teams within its division. 1-800-636-1067. You and me till 340. Nats and Brewers at that time right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.